Here's a chance to have your dreams come true and win big. Go to upixmusic.com and become a premium member today.
It is Easter on this fifth day of April, 2015. We have a special transmission for you today. I guess in radio parlance, they would call it a best of. But some of it will be original, some of the new special reports that have been filed at InfoWars Nightly News, like the ones you're about to hear here in just a moment. And then the amazing interview a few weeks ago with a former technical director of the National Security Agency, William Binney. Then we have Barrett Brown, the political prisoner, is going to be joining us from prison. That interview with David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson, very important. And then that ties in to Bruce Fein, the former head lawyer for the FCC, who helped end fairness doctrine. He weighs in on the persecution of journalists and the media and the FCC power grab. Daniel Estelin on the latest on Bilderberg. We're going to talk to Dr. Andrew Wakefield, recently exonerated with the proof of his studies and what vaccines are doing to children, and more. All this in the next 2 hours. But now, this excerpt from InfoWars Nightly News, and we'll be back after the break.
Yesterday, we brought you the news about a mass shooting, a campus shooting in Kenya. The terrorist group Al-Shabaab opened fire at Garissa University College and killed nearly 150 people. Fox News reported the men were going door to door asking people their religion, and if they answered they were a Christian, they shot them on the spot. The first responders engaged the terrorists but were flat out outgunned. Al-Shabaab is the same group that attacked a mall in Nairobi years ago, killing many innocent people. And now they're threatening attacks here on U.S. soil, threatening the Mall of America. DHS has investigated the group and found them to be no credible threat. And I hope they're right. But if they're wrong, I'm very happy that we live in a country where we have concealed carriers.
He kept pulling the charging handle and hitting the side.
The break in gunfire allowed Mealy to pull out his own gun.
I saw someone in the back of the Charlotte move. And I knew that if I fired and missed, I could end up hitting them.
So Mealy took cover inside a nearby store.
I'm not beating myself up because I didn't shoot him. But I know that after he saw me, I think the last shot he fired was the one that he used on himself.
The gunman was dead.
And in the Clackamas shooting, the mere sight of armed opposition forced the gunman to turn the gun upon himself. I guess he didn't want to take the chance of being taken alive. And now we're all asking the same question. How do we combat these mass shootings? Well, the chief of Interpol has come out and said, well, maybe we should just arm the citizens. The people should be able to protect themselves. And I do agree. Now, am I trying to put a firearm in every dorm room in America? No. But if you're somebody of age, of sound mind and body, and you don't have any criminal proceedings, you know, I think you should be able to go out and purchase a gun to keep yourself safe. But not everybody agrees with this point of view. And there are now actually articles out debunking the effectiveness of armed citizens. I have some self-defense stories here, and for the purposes of this report, I restricted this to public people in public places and not private individuals in their homes. We'll start with this one. Back in 2012, two robbers enter an internet cafe, one's holding a bat, the other one has a pistol. He jumps up with his own pistol, shoots at the robbers, and chases them out like the rats that they are. You see, guys, scary and pretty pathetic. But he saved the day. Another story from Wisconsin. A gentleman pulls out his concealed carry and then shoots this guy once the coast is clear. Gas station clerk thwarted robbery, fired for violating company's no weapons policy. So this guy, he saved himself and the people in the store, but he lost his job, unfortunately. Another story out of Philadelphia. A barbershop patron shoots gunman dead. Armed robber, no match for pharmacist with a .45. And there are videos accompanying most of these articles I'm showing you. We're just skipping them for the sake of time, but you're welcome to go back and look at them for yourself. Woman fends off would-be attackers with concealed gun. And this is a bank employee with a concealed carry shoots would-be robber in the jaw. Another bank story. Bank customer thwarts robbery after returning to car to grab gun. And we'll end with this one. India's first gun for women fares well among men. And this was in response to the Delhi gang rape of 2012, where the young lady was raped on the bus with an iron rod by several attackers. And now they have a gun specifically designed for the women. I think the gun is way overpriced, but I'm happy to see that the young ladies are carrying this nonetheless and are able to defend themselves. Keep this in mind as we go forward, and hopefully we diminish these gun-free zones and get rid of these soft targets. You can find more reports on InfoWars.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. We'll be right back on the other side with the NSA whistleblower.
Your personal rights and freedoms are under fire. Rising prices, drought conditions, domestic threats, and excessive government regulations only increase the threat. Having a supply of food is the difference between freedom and captivity. Depression time breadlines extended for blocks, and those at the end of the line not only experienced fear and humiliation, but often did not receive any food. Having a supply of GoFoods will keep you out of the breadlines and allow you freedom from government dependency for one of your greatest needs. Whether today or in 25 years, GoFoods will be there for you when you need it most. Buy it today, save it for later, feed your freedom. Special values now available. Call us at 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 800-648-9753 or www.storefoodnow.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us on this Easter broadcast. I want to go to our annals here, or our archives for a moment. Not too far back, a few weeks ago, we had the former technical director of the National Security Agency, a huge whistleblower, on the broadcast, and he dropped bombshell after bombshell while he was on. So here are some of those tidbits of information. Mr. Binney is a real hero. He'll just say he did his duty. But in a world of traitors, someone doing their duty is heroic. And he joins us here today. William, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I don't know where to start. We could recap your story, what's happening, get into the exciting stuff about you coming back from Germany. You've been talking to parliaments over there. You've been talking to the EU people, the British Parliament, big national headlines where you say it's a totalitarian takeover in The Guardian. But here it's starting to come out in the news as well. I guess they failed to silence you. We could talk about you working with Oliver Stone now on the new Snowden documentary. We could get into the slides and break down the fact that it is going on from an expert, showing us not what's classified but what's already been leaked so you don't get in trouble. We're here with the former technical director of the NSA, the guy that actually ran it, William Binney. So you've got the floor, sir.
Yeah, there's so much here. It's really hard to know where to start because it's really been over time. It's been our government has moved into basically sliding down the totalitarian slope, taking massive amounts of data on our citizens and then working around and doing it across the world. So it's basically they're doing this for everybody in the planet. And the process started here in the NSA. And it has started to spread around the world to the Five Eyes countries, US, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and then to other countries like in Germany and Switzerland and Sweden and Israel. So the process of data collection, and now the Russians are doing it. I just read an article where they're starting this kind of operation. So now the Russians are following our lead in this spying business.
It's a big brother race.
Right. When I first started in October 2001, it was very clear to me that this was a process that we were adopting in the United States that was really a Soviet attempt or a Stasi attempt in East Germany to assemble all the information on U.S. on their populations. Why? It's because they wanted to control their populations. That was the whole point of the totalitarian states that has been down through history. I mean, this is nothing new. This has been repeated so many times in Caesar Augustus. You know, it was so clear right up front. But, I mean, you can ask anybody in the Tea Party who's been denied access to 501c3. You can look at the IRS use of the data. Look at the law enforcement.
DEA with parallel construction.
The parallel construction. I mean, that's spread around the world to other police organizations around the world, too. Anybody with an organization or police organization that has a relationship with the FBI or the DEA around the world is subject to getting this kind of information, but they'll never be given the original data from the NSA collection because it's not admissible in a court of law because it wasn't acquired by a warrant. And they don't want to, with foreigners, compromise the fact that they have the ability to collect them.
And don't they then fence it and wash it and they've been caught adding disinformation and it's a perfect way to put into the global data stream frame-ups?
They did that kind of framing with us. They did that even with us. The Department of Justice did that. They framed us. They attempted to. But
speak a little bit about that. I think that gives people a window into how totalitarian this is.
Well, for example, in the case the only case that went to court was Tom Drake's case. They took him to court because he was still working for NSA at the time. This was in 2007 when they raided us initially, and then they raided Tom Drake about 3 months later. His case didn't get to court till about 2010. Well, in 2010 they charged him, in 2011, 10 and 11 in that frame, they wanted to take him to court. What they did was they took information that he had at his house that was marked unclassified, and they changed it. They drew a line through that and then stamped it classified, secret or top secret, then charged him with having classified material. That's like retroactively classifying something so you can charge somebody with having classified material. That's framing him, okay?
It's a forgery. It's a fraud. It's a major felony.
Right. And the problem with it is that they didn't know what they had done. They'd released most of that material themselves, NSA did, into the public domain unclassified. And that's what Jim Bamford found.
Because Drake wasn't stupid. He didn't want to go to prison. He was only bringing out what was already out there.
Yeah. First of all, it was unclassified by NSA regulations. That was the way they stamped it. So
I had the former director of Star Wars on. He died a few years ago, Dr. Bob Bowman. And he talked about some of the space planes once. And then they called him and came to his house and, you know, kind of threatened him. And he said, hey, here's where it was released on C-SPAN. And here's where you guys in your own propaganda a decade ago released it. And then they couldn't go after him, but that's the type of stuff they pull.
Right. It's a total fabrication of evidence to put people in jail. That's our Department of Justice doing it.
The Bible calls it bearing false witness.
Yes. I call it perjury and a felony, and these people should be charged and given a chance to explain what they did and why they did
it. Tell folks what happened to you before we get into the NSA itself.
For me, in my case, I was kind of prominent, you know, complaining to senators and representatives and various other people, as was Tom Drake.
Let's be clear. You guys were doing this internally.
We were internal, in terms of the government, yes. We were going to the inspector. Kirk Wiebe and I even went to talk to the Department of Justice Inspector General. And of course they couldn't say anything to us, but we made it clear what the problem was with this domestic spying. But for me and all four of us, we were the four who were first raided in July of 2007. We were raided because we were the ones who signed the DODIG complaint against NSA, charging them with corruption, fraud, waste, and abuse. And that caused a DOD, major DOD investigation of NSA that all verified what we were saying, and that was published but redacted. Because it was even the unclassified, embarrassing parts were redacted, which is a violation of the NSA the government.
Open records.
Yeah, well, it's a violation of government classification regulations, too. In other words, Executive Order 13526, Section 1.7 says you can't classify something or keep it classified or not declassified if it's evidence of a crime or evidence of that embarrasses an agency or
you can't use the National Security Act to cover up criminal activity.
Exactly, exactly. And that's basically what the NSA and the DOJ and the DOD with that investigative report, that's what they were doing. They were redacting it and hiding it from Congress and hiding it from everybody else. So they're covering up what they're doing. And for us, they attempted after the raid. By the way, the DODIG's office was the one that gave our names as the ones who submitted that complaint against NSA. They gave our names to the FBI.
Wow.
And that was against their regulations, okay? I mean, who knows?
So they're all breaking the law while accusing you of doing it.
Yes.
And all you're doing is going to congressional committees and inspector generals whose job it is to have oversight and telling them, hey, they're breaking the law.
Yes. And also it's the committees who are supposed to, the intelligence committees in the House and Senate and also the FISA court were established after the Church Committee investigation of NSA, CIA, and FBI in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And one of the main persons they were spying on back in the Minaret program was Senator Church.
That's right.
That was only came out recently, and the reason they didn't, of course, was because they are spying on people who have power over them.
And let's be clear, because the fake conservative argument and the fake liberal argument is the same. We're protecting you from Al-Qaeda and drug dealers and all this other stuff, but then as more of this gets leaked and comes out, They're spying on Parliament. They're spying on Congress. They're spying on other agencies. And there's so much spying going on, and you've explained this, that back when you were really spying on the Russians, really spying on radical Islamicists, legally and lawfully, that was already legal and lawful. It's the domestic stuff that's illegal, but they confuse people and say, let us protect you from Al-Qaeda, when actually they're doing the opposite. They're letting all these groups operate because they're too busy spying on their boyfriends and their girlfriends and the congressmen.
Yeah, that's one of the cases that came out was what they called an NSA love intelligence. That's where the analysts were looking into the data to see whether or not their better parts or their spouses or girlfriends were cheating on them. Well, you don't do that. First of all, you don't do that, America. You do not do that with metadata. You do that with content. And that's what they've been trying to hide, that they've been collecting content all along, since 2002, at least.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Experts are clear. Sunlight, purified water, healthy non-GMO food, and having a good attitude is essential to a healthy immune system. But I go further with Super Nascent Iodine X2 from InfoWarsLife.com. 50% stronger than our original and revolutionary Nascent Iodine formula, coming from a deep earth crystal source that no other supplier has. Most other forms of iodine come from seaweed in areas plagued by Fukushima and other contaminants. Not our iodine. It comes from over 200 million-year-old crystal salt deposits and is tested and proven to be completely pure. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today. See the informational videos. Read the information there compiled. And for a limited time, when you use promo code NOW at checkout, you get an additional 5% off the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products. Secure your Survival Shield X2 today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit The Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of The Berkey Guy.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, on this Easter transmission. Let's get right back to this important interview with William Binney, formerly of the National Security Agency. William Binney, the former director of the technical division of the NSA. I've seen the news say you were the number two, number three, number four. What position were you in the NSA? What that position, what level is that?
Well, I was a senior executive grade. If you get in the military ranks, that'd be like a 1.5 star general. So, but I was the technical director of the World Geopolitical Military Analysis and Reporting Shop. That was about 6,000 analysts and reporters.
How high is your IQ? Because they say you've got like a mathematical brain. Come on, be sure. It was about 180?
No, I think it was 143 or something like that. But, you know, I'm just a basic country boy, fundamentally.
But you've got a genius for numbers and code cracking.
I had a real bent for that, doing that, yes. It's just a talent that you have to be able to look at patterns and see patterns in data. And when you can do that, that's the kind of thing you need to be able to break things and solve problems.
Somehow I want to have you on just about you. I mean, I know most of it's classified, but, I mean, you battled the Russians, the Chinese, everybody, right?
Mostly the Warsaw Pact, European communist countries, and the Soviet Union.
And you said before, it upset you to go from really going spying after serious folks to, like, spying on congressmen.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and every U.S. citizen in the country. Yeah. No one was exempt. I mean, everybody was taken in. I mean, even Senator Rockefeller, when he was addressed in January on CNN, I think it was, he addressed it. He said they've got data on they probably even got data on me. Well, I mean, what he's saying was right. I mean, they're collecting all the data, content and metadata on everybody in the
country. Explain those lies for folks. They claim, oh, it's just metadata. Just, you know, basically when you called, when you didn't call, like a phone bill. No. Explain what they're really doing.
Well, Mark Klein kind of exposed that, too. And it's in court record in Mark Klein's case where he laid out the wiring for all the NSA room in the AT&T facility in San Francisco.
Sure.
And on that, I think it was room 641B. What they did was they put a prism type affair or a splitter, what's called a splitter or Y connector, where you have a fiber coming in and it duplicates it and sends it down two paths. One path went to the NSA room and the other path went to the normal distribution of communications. In the NSA room, all the diagramming showed all the NARIS devices they had in there, where they pushed the fiber optic networks into the NARIS device. What that did was recompile everything on the line and sessionize it, meaning reassemble all the data. Like if you send an email, it goes out in packets. We'll pull all those packets back together and say, here's the email you just sent. And then they would pass that on to NSA for storage. And that's what that device did. Did content collection, not just metadata, but the content.
And then now we know those hubs are everywhere, and in front of us, they're building giant, huge complexes to store it all.
Yes, the latest one that they've just submitted an environmental impact statement for is a 2.8 million square foot facility on Fort Meade, taking up basically the golf course at Fort Meade.
2.8 million.
It's about three times the size of Bluffdale. Just about three times. That's a million square feet. This is 2.8.
What I love about the NSA, we've had reporters in San Antonio and in Utah, and you just get there at the Walmart parking lot and start videotaping. They run up. The police go, how dare you videotape us? It's just a public, it's publicly known. It's there. Meanwhile, they're stealing all of our data, but, oh, you can't aim a camera at us.
Yeah, right. They're hypocritical about this. I mean, they're all hypocrites. I mean, they're violating the Constitution. They say they're not everything that is legal. Well, that's retroactively passing laws. The problem with that is the laws that they pass have to abide to the Constitution. And when you violate the Fourth Amendment, it doesn't matter what kind of law you pass. that says it's okay to do that. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, and it's not constitutional.
And you know, they said, the Constitution's dead. You ignore it. It won't be a problem. But now we see the president saying, I'm going to open the borders without even an order. Not even Congress. Not even an order from Obama. I'm going to come after your guns without an order or without a law. They don't even do the fake orders now. They just do it. Obama announced yesterday, no more FOIAs for the White House. We're just not going to follow the law. I mean, this is dictatorship, not of Obama himself, but of the system, in my view. How would you describe this slide?
It's a slide into totalitarianism and an imperial presidency and a control of population process. I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, they kept everybody in the dark, so he had no informed electorate to make a decision about who to vote for, about these issues, or even raising these issues. They're all avoiding this issue. And they have an uninformed Congress, because that's why Representatives Amash and Conyers got a group together, a coalition of Republicans and Democrats, to try to unfund NSA, because they realized that they were being lied to by the agencies, by the intelligence committees, and by the administration about what was going on. So, I mean, they had an uninformed Congress and an uninformed electorate by design. And that's basically what the Soviet Union, the Germans, that's basically what they did.
I got a lot of questions coming up for you, William Binning. I want you to be able to speak on other topics you want to get into and go through some slides you gave us that Snowden leaked, so you can break this down for people to kind of give us a roadmap of what's going on. But my big question is, as best you know, not being there in 15 years, but what's leaked and what people have said, how many people really have access to the big master files to go in and send an order in and then get all my emails from a year ago, or go and see a file, a text file of a phone call I had last night? How many people have access to this? Because if Snowden could really get access to all of this, that means governments and spies could as well. So even if we had good people in government, which we know at the top we don't, they built this fraud. They built something that could be taken over or hacked and thus compromise everything. You build something that spies on everything. You've just built something that corporations, spies, private corporate criminals, anybody can get into and exploit and sell. And with government's history of selling driver's license, selling uranium, whatever the case is, this looks like it's a giant bazaar of information that they've just opened up.
Yes, and internally in NSA, they have no monitoring of the network as to what's going on and who's using it. My estimate in terms of, I mean, some of the numbers I've seen say that...
Let's stop there. I don't mean to interrupt you. We monitor our network to see what people are doing around here. We monitor to see if they're downloading stuff that's illegal. We have to liability. The NSA doesn't monitor their own network.
That's right. In fact, we had proposed in the SARC, the Signal Automation Research Center, we proposed a program we called Well Grounded, that said we wanted to monitor the entire worldwide network of NSA, who was on it, when they were on it, what they were doing when they were there as they did it. And it would be a matter of monitoring the network log, like you probably do here. The same principle. It's the idea where anybody on the network sends data down the line, you can see what they're doing, and it's recorded in the log. So you can analyze that log with software, and that's what we intended and proposed to do. We had two groups opposing that. One were all the analysts saying, you will be able to see everything I'm doing. I don't want you monitoring. Okay?
But they're working in a secret government operation. Yeah. They're the ones that should have a record.
Exactly.
Plus, that people could just sell their code and let anybody in.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I mean, if I was a spy running America, I would want there to be no monitoring.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the point. That's exactly what the analysts said. But the real opposers of it were the managers. And the reason they didn't want that happening was we could watch the movement of all the money. We could see all the money being spent on every program, the return on investment of every program, whether or not they were successful or not, what companies were competing for it, all of that kind of
stuff. So they didn't want any oversight. So basically, it's a giant looting operation.
Exactly. In fact, there is no oversight. There's no auditing of NSA by Congress. Congress does not audit NSA. This is a setup for corruption.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hey, how you doing, Al?
Good, brother.
Just recently started using your products. Everything you said about them is correct. Me and my wife both use a lot of them, and it's made a lot of changes in our lives here.
Well, thank you, brother. It's because it also funds our operation, but doing that, I know I've got to have the highest quality.
Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals.
We do the Super Male and the Super Female Vitality. Big changes, a lot of energy. We've gotten off of the cheap energy drinks, energy shots, saving a ton of money there.
Sourced from powerful organic herbs, harvested around the planet, and then concentrated for maximum potency.
They want to stun and dumb down, and energy drinks and stuff just cover that up for a while, but then burn you out, in my experience, whereas stuff that gets your glands naturally going goes right to the source. So it's pretty exciting, and I love it.
Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Complain about Big Brother and how this is a potential, program run amok. But when you actually look at the details, then I think we've struck the right balance. And if people can't trust not only the executive branch, but also don't trust Congress and don't trust federal judges to make sure that we're abiding by the Constitution, due process, and rule of law, then we're going to have some problems.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
All the evil men in charity to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. I think it was Edmund Burke said that, British statesman. There are good people in the government. The government's not our enemy. The big corporations are doing as much spying as the NSA in certain areas. It is the fact that we have let government and corporations get out of control. Now there's no oversight. They're doing whatever they want. It's crazy. William Binney, former technical director of the National Security Agency, one of the most high-level whistleblowers of all time. He has exposed Benedict Arnold-level crimes. They've tried to put him in prison and failed.
They have successfully put other patriots in prison. They put journalists in prison. But for people in the government, better choose a side, because this is classic totalitarianism. Every top constitutional lawyer, whether they're liberal or conservative, has come out and said, we're going over the edge. This is scary. Even Congress is saying that, but there's no oversight, so it's just all out of control now. Now, there are centralized groups that have a lot of power, but the scariest thing is, if this was a centralized system, we could probably fix it a lot better. Am I right, from your expert opinion, that it's worse that there's not even oversight because there's all these mini empires and God knows what going on with just unlimited spying happening, and Congress doesn't know what to do? I mean, this is just crazy sounding. Is that worse than just having one centralized group running it because we could remove them? I mean, how do you ever get rid of something that's metastasized like this?
Well, that's one of the things that we put into suggestions of the president's in January of last year. We sent in 21 recommendations on how to fix NSA. One of them was to have our group of technical people be able to monitor everything. And we had another one to have focused collection of data. That kind of data is what's pulled into the NSA, not this bulk acquisition. That removes the possibility of them even querying that data, because now they can't even access it because it doesn't exist. So if you did a focused attack like we did with our program ThinThread back in the 90s, that would have eliminated this bulk acquisition. They couldn't do what they're doing. No one could do love in at NSA. The FBI and CIA can't get into this data to do whatever they want to, like they can now, because it wouldn't be there.
They can't alter the data because they can't get to it.
They can now.
Yes, okay?
But because under the ThinThread program, the data wouldn't even be stored there. They wouldn't have it. So they wouldn't be able to do anything with it. That was the point. We had a way of filtering out all domestic communications, metadata, content, everything. If it was domestic, it just passed right by. We could recognize it was domestic and not even take it in. So we never even acquired it. So it couldn't be stored in any NSA database. It couldn't be accessed by any NSA analyst or anybody in the CIA.
So when you were there, the NSA was truly spying on foreign adversaries.
Yes, but at General Hayden, when he was director, and it was Bush, Cheney, Hayden, and Tenet that decided to spy on everybody. That was to expand the authority of an NSA to go into, in secret, by the way, to spy and collect data on every U.S. citizen and everybody on the planet. And so when they did that, that's when I first saw that coming in. That was when I had to wash my hands of NSA. I couldn't be any part of that. I had to leave because that was I couldn't participate or even be associated with those crimes.
What did they say to you when you went into your superior's office? I guess that'd be the head of the NSA. And what did you say?
Actually, I didn't go to them at all. I went directly to the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. The reason was I knew, very simply put, that everybody had been co-opted in the hierarchy of NSA.
They'd committed the crime.
Yes. They were all a party to it. All the lawyers, all of the senior managers at NSA had all followed orders from the White House, from Cheney and Bush, to do this. And that's what Hayden directed them to say, that this direction was coming from the White House. Therefore, we're going to do it. It's lawful, and we do it.
But to talk about what a hero and how much courage you've got, I mean, you know how serious people are in this government, what they do worldwide, how corrupt it's gotten at that point. You had the will to march into Congress and to tell them what was going on. The first guy, I mean, that's 10 times bigger than Snowden internally, and to really start this whole internal debate and this avalanche of understanding now. I mean, you were really one of the first people to ring the bell to warn folks that the country, as we knew it, was being dismantled.
Yes, and in order to do that, I had to meet with one of the staffers of the House Intelligence Committee, Diane Rourke, that I knew. So I met with her at her house because we couldn't trust the House Intelligence Committee because they were a part of it. And we also couldn't trust anybody in NSA. So the only place that we'd find we could be have a conversation or even talk about this was her house. There was no other place that was secure.
In the supposed free country of America. And then you get SWAT team. Tell folks about that.
Well, yeah, after that and after talking to other members of Congress, it was actually the morning of the second day after Attorney General Gonzalez's testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee on the terrorist surveillance program, where he only talked about the warrantless wiretap program. That was the part that was exposed.
And claimed it was for al-Qaeda.
Yeah, right. That's right. But that was only a smidgen of what they were doing. I mean, that was like an infinitesimal of what they were really taking in. At that time, it must have been a lower percentage of phone calls, but the vast majority of emails inside the United States as well as worldwide. which I estimated to be now at least 80% of the phone calls in the United States are now being recorded somewhere. That's how Tim Clemente could say that after the Boston bombing, we can get back to what was said in a phone call between one of the Tsarnaev brothers and his wife before the bombing.
Let's be clear. They're saying it on television that they're recording all the calls, but then denying it out of the next breath.
That was CNN. Also, Director Mueller of the FBI in his Senate Judiciary testimony in 30th of March of 2011 said that he got together with the Department of Defense and set up a database where he and the FBI could make one query and get all past and all future emails on a person. Now, that tells you that that's coming out of Bluffdale, by the way. All the data is being collected and stored. And so it's not just phone calls, it's emails, it's everything else. And of course, some of the recent publications show credit card use is being stored also.
How many people in the NSA, people have a high enough clearance in government agencies, period, to be able to go in and hear my phone calls, say, to my dad yesterday?
I believe the figures I've seen, at least what's been published, is probably on the order of about 3,000 government employees. Now, that doesn't count contractors who are managing the data. That's the real rub. You have all these contractors who manage the communications, the computers, the data storage, the query programs, and the communications back and forth between the analysts to ensure all.
Who could do a Snowden-level breach if they want?
Snowden-level breach, yes. Yeah, because they don't have any monitoring system of them. Anybody with a system administrator or a super user case, which is what he has.
And people say there's no way Snowden could do it. No, it's like it's designed to bring the country down. It's like it's designed to end our national security, and then they're selling it as national security.
Well, that gets back to that program we wanted to put in place in 1991 or 92, which was well-grounded to monitor this. And we were opposed by the analysts and the administrator, the managers, because of all the material it exposed that they were doing. But that meant that they left the entire network with no monitoring system at all. That's why they can't tell what Snowden took. They don't have any idea. They're guessing 1.7 million.
Records. What's behind an open border? What's behind an open NSA? What's behind, at the end of the day, what do you think the different power elites are thinking?
I basically see us moving to a controlled society, a totalitarian state where it is the government wants to be in charge. I mean, when Reagan said we're a country with a government, I think we're now a government with a country. And all of the things that are happening are only tightening that control on the people. They're going to manipulate them and keep as long as they can keep them uninformed. And nobody realizes what's going on, or they don't see the threat. If they say, you have nothing, if you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide. First of all, that's a great quote from Joseph Goebbels. And secondly, that's totally irrelevant.
Yeah, they're actually quoting Joseph Goebbels on a routine basis.
Yeah.
It's like satire.
It's like the lies they keep saying. That's right out of Hitler's playbook. If you're going to tell a lie, make it a big one and tell it frequently till it's believed. And that's what's going on here. And we're assuming that we trust our government, so we're assuming they're telling us the truth. Well, that's just wrong.
It's just a bunch of corporations and private contractors screwing us up.
For money, yes. I've been basically said what they did after 9/11 was trade the security of the people of the United States and of the world for money.
Used since before the days of the Roman Empire to support the body's natural systems and enhance overall health. Introducing the new InfoWarsLife.com oil of oregano formulation, a highly advanced nutraceutical form of this key herb that has been traditionally used by civilizations for thousands of years to promote health. We have now procured the most high quality and potent forms of oregano oil on the market, sourced from top leading manufacturers to ensure a concentrated level of bioactive ingredients. Extracted directly from the wild herb and sealed in easy-to-use capsules, you will no longer need to endure the burning of liquid oregano on the tongue. Wild-crafted from the Mediterranean oregano species that experts agree is one of the most powerful and most challenging to acquire. This winter season, it's more important than ever to secure this true form of oil of oregano. Now available in our limited first run at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Alex Jones here. For the last 2 years, I've been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to design a nutraceutical formulation that has truly life-changing health benefits. So many other formulations out there contain toxic ingredients, synthetic additives, and even GMOs. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introductory offer. Visit InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
And we are back on this Easter transmission. I want to go to our archives and play part of an interview that David Knight and Paul Joseph Watson of InfoWars.com did recently with a true American political prisoner, Barrett Brown, an interview from jail. He's in prison for exercising his free speech. You know this country's in danger when stuff like this is happening. Let's go to the show.
Let's go to Barrett Brown. Barrett, I wanted to give you a chance to talk to the public. We talked about your comments to the judge saying that this isn't about the rule of law anymore. We now have the rule of law enforcement. Tell us what you want to tell us about your trial now that the gag order has been taken off.
Well, the first thing I should mention is that aside from what I put forth in the article for the Daily Beast about a month ago, and aside from what I'll tell you about today, the great majority of the things that people need to know about the trial are still sealed, and that should continue for about 6 months. So, in addition to all the very egregious things that have happened, there's a great deal more that's still not public. Now, regarding the trial, I guess the basic lesson here is that the federal government can do whatever it wants, essentially, within the Department of Justice, within the federal justice system. That's clear from the extensive perjury, very demonstrable perjury that occurred in this case, again, some of which is visible, some of which can be confirmed publicly through documents, some of which is still sealed. And that's really what I've tried to convey to the judge in that the allocution I gave, is that, you know, when you allow this perjury to occur, we're getting away from the rule of law. We're getting to a situation in which we're going through the forms. We're meeting in a nice, very pretty hardwood room with paintings and a big, nice wood podium and see things like Anonymous. You're going to see things like WikiLeaks. You're going to keep seeing them until we get the rule of law.
One of the things, reading the transcript, the judge dressed down the prosecutor for not referring to you as Mr. Brown. And as you're just talking about, you've got this fancy room with all the trappings and everything, but they're grinding the rule of law into the ground. And I thought, he's worried about being polite to people while he's doing the, while he's railroading this whole process. That's amazing.
That kind of thing is very important to establishment characters in D.C. It's very important to the people who have that federal government mentality. You know, I would have preferred him to object at the last hearing when the prosecutor asked the FBI agent, how long has Barry Brown been an anarchist?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the time to object when they started asking about my political ideology. Incidentally, this thing about me being an anarchist, which is true, that actually comes up in a couple of other documents, including the gag order. When they asked for me to be gagged, me being an anarchist was one of the reasons they cited. In one of the documents that's still sealed regarding my sentencing, they call for me to give additional prison time because I'm an anarchist, and thus more likely, apparently, to commit crimes. So there's a lot of egregious things that, on an individual basis, really should have been a national story, you know, on each given thing. Obviously, the seizure of the Declaration of Independence, in a more perfect world, would have been a major news story.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the world we're in, it didn't quite rate national coverage.
Yes, that was amazing. Tell the audience about that.
Well, among the items, and you can see this, and this is links to from my Daily Beast article, my post, Cyberpunk and Digital Servitude, which you can find online. You know, we have the list of items they seized as, you know, evidence of a crime. And you know, it's computers, it's my notes. There's only one book they took. I have a lot of books in my apartment at the time, and the only book they took was a copy of the Declaration of Independence, just this little pocket copy.
Well, that's radical.
Never have to explain why they took it. I'm assuming it has to do something to do with the FBI memorandum a few years ago when they said, you know, patriots, militia types, they like the Constitution, they might have a copy of the Constitution, thus having a copy of the Constitution might be evidence of a crime. I'm assuming they just sort of got it mixed up. One of those enlightenment documents, you know, FBI agents aren't as educated as we might expect them to be, or might hope them to be anyway. So they just grabbed it and then, you know, never came up at the trial. Would have been, even for them, it would have been a little much to actually discuss that, you know, in the course of the trial, so.
One of the things you mentioned at the end of the article was 2 days before your sentencing, the Department of Justice withheld from the defense team chat transcripts from Jeremy Hammond. Tell us about that.
This call is from a federal prison.
Sorry, that's one of those charming little reminders every once in a while. Yes, it actually came out 2 days before in an article by, I think, Dale Cameron, that, in fact, and this is something we had no idea of, the Department of Justice had documents that show quite demonstrably that I was not a co-conspirator in the Strepper hack, which was a major point, you know, of the DOJ's favor in getting me, you know, actually getting me additional prison time, this claim that I was somehow a co-conspirator. And they withheld that evidence. And the evidence is now public. It was made public before my sentencing. And this is something that, again, in a more perfect world, the judge would care about just as much as he cares about whether I'm called Mr. Brown or Barrett or Humpty Dumpty or whatever. But it just didn't quite come to his attention. Didn't quite interest him very much. It actually just goes to show this particular case. Obviously, it's inconvenient for me to be in prison. But on the other hand, we have a great example here. This whole case, the investigation, all the way to the sentencing, of how this system works. Particularly if the DOJ wants you, you know, very much wants you to do prison time. It's a great example of how they're able to get away with these things, even in the public eye. There's the other story here, of course, is how poorly the mainstream media does in keeping up with these things.
Absolutely. Well, we spoke on the phone the other day, Barrett, and you were talking about, I was asking you what you knew about the Michael Hastings case and how the FBI came out and said that they weren't looking into him. And you said that you believe that, you know, 99% that FBI was definitely looking to him.
Yeah, it's even aside from the other reasons they would have to look into him, it's absolutely ludicrous for them to say that because with regards to my group, Project PM, which runs the echelon2.org website, which was really what this case was all about, you know, they subpoenaed the IP address information for everyone who's ever contributed to that website of ours. And so these are just sort of small players within Project PM. Now, Michael Hastings, on the other hand, as I noted in a Vanity Fair article a number of years ago when he was still alive and when I was writing about him, you know, he was instrumental when I was first creating Project PM in helping me sort of flesh out the philosophy of it. So the idea that he, who was in contact with me regarding Project PM, was never investigated regarding Project PM is absolutely 100% ludicrous. And again, that's in addition to the other reasons they and other certain other organizations would have to be investigating and harassing him. He obviously did a great job. He's best known for forcing McChrystal to resign a number of years ago. But really, his article exposing the PSYOPs campaign used by, I believe, a two-star general in Afghanistan against visiting senators, that's something I cite constantly in my articles for The Guardian or wherever as evidence of here's what these people are willing to do even to your elected officials.
Obviously, one of the charges is the fact that he merely provided a link to the Stratfor email leaks. What kind of precedent does that create for web publishers, for activists going forward?
Well, it means that the federal government now has an expanded toolkit, a vastly expanded toolkit, by which to come after anyone that they wanted to come after to begin with, whether or not they've actually committed a crime. By criminalizing the act of linking, especially in my case when you don't even know what you're linking to, and had no interest or use for the, and this turned out the credit card numbers in addition to other information that I ended up linking to, which was already public, that sets a terrible precedent by which journalists, researchers are now at risk. And, of course, there are some journalists and researchers who are a danger to the government, and especially the DOJ, and thus, you know, the DOJ now has one more option by which to come after them. Quinn Norton, who writes for Wired and who testified at my hearing, she explained a few days afterwards, after this decision, that she was going to stop doing security reporting. It's too dangerous. She told this to the judge. The judge at my hearing said, you know, well, I'm going to go ahead and hit him with this additional year in prison for the linking. I don't think it's going to be a concern to journalists, which is bizarre because, of course, journalists have been expressing concern about this, those charges ever since they were made 2 years ago. And even right after my sentencing, there was a number of articles in U.S. News and World Report, Columbia Journalism Review, The Intercept, again, expressing concern about this. So the judge is not a brilliant flower of jurisprudence or anything, really. He's just sort of a puppet of the DOJ, which is not a bad guy, just doesn't know what he's doing. And so, again, alas, that's the situation we're in now. Now, hopefully something will come of this in the case in general. Hopefully people will make use of what's happened in my case to bring some attention to the mainstream. Because, again, this affects journalists. And, you know, when you start coming after journalists, then you have the option, the potential to get journalists' attention.
Especially when you're quoting someone, a Fox News contributor, and then they use that against you, that quote.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, the most bizarre, the number one most bizarre thing in a comedy of bizarre errors. The fact that a Fox News commentator went on television and talked about how we should murder Julian Assange. Mm-hmm. I quoted that on my Twitter account. You know, and of course, Julian Assange is someone who I respect and he respects me. We have sort of an association. That ended up in my indictment as if it was something that I said or you know, approved of. And even after we pointed out, you know, in a filing that, you know, this Barrett Brown didn't say this. This is some other guy that Barrett Brown obviously wouldn't get along with saying it. The prosecution stuck with it instead of saying, oh, this is a mistake, or you're right. They stuck with it and said, yes, he's promoting this quote, which, mm-hmm. again, really raises the question of if it's a terrible quote that even promoting gets you indicted, then how come the guy who said it on national television hasn't been indicted? And the answer, of course, is because the guy on Fox News is not a danger to the DOJ. Like commentators are both left.
We'll be right back after this quick break in the second hour. And I'm going to go beyond saying don't touch that dial. Spread the word on Facebook, Twitter, call your friends and family, and tell them to tune in to the second hour of information. Because it's going to be jam-packed with Daniel Esten on the Bilderberg Group, Dr. Wakefield on the danger of vaccines, the top lawyer and former head lawyer for the FCC, Bruce Fein, will document the power grab happening right now with the FCC and the Internet. All this and more in the second hour, so stay with us.
Hey, everyone. You know, Mark and I were talking the other day about guns80.com and how people really want ghost guns. They want 100% privacy. So guns80.com is allowing you now to call them, give your address, and they'll ship you out with a money order or some very private instrument. You can work that out with them. They'll ship you out a gun in a brown paper wrapper so no one even knows you have it. No records will be kept. It'll be 100% private. But you got to call them. 844-2-GUNS-80, 844-248-6780.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.